Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Wolves of K Street by Brody Mullins and Luke Mullins is narrative nonfiction that explains how modern Washington lobbying grew into a powerful industry that can shape federal policy on behalf of paying clients. Drawing on investigative reporting, the book follows the rise of the corporate influence business from the 1970s onward, when companies expanded their Washington presence and began spending heavily on professional advocates. The authors aim to make the machinery of influence legible to general readers by focusing on the people, firms, and incentives that define the lobbying world around K Street, a shorthand for the capital's influence economy. Rather than treating lobbying as an abstract problem, the book emphasizes how money, access, and political connections translate into concrete outcomes like regulatory decisions, tax provisions, and government contracts. It also shows how lobbying interacts with campaign finance, revolving door career paths, and weak enforcement, creating a system where private interests can outmatch public oversight. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the making of a modern lobbying industry. A central topic is how lobbying transformed from a smaller, more episodic practice into a permanent, professionalized industry. The book traces a long arc beginning in the 1970s, when corporations and trade groups concluded that Washington policy would decisively affect profits and market rules. As federal regulation expanded and Congress became a venue for detailed economic decisions, businesses increasingly invested in full-time influence operations. The authors describe the growth of lobbying firms and the shift toward highly specialized advocacy that could target committees, agencies, and leadership offices with precision. This evolution also changed what influence looked like, not only persuasive meetings, but a bundled package of services such as policy drafting, strategic intelligence, coalition building, and narrative shaping. The result is an ecosystem where access and expertise are monetized, and where firms compete aggressively for clients by promising real outcomes. By framing lobbying as an industry with career tracks, fee structures, and reputational markets, the book helps explain why the system persists even after repeated scandals and reform attempts. Secondly, the revolving door and the sale of access. Another major theme is the revolving door between government and lobbying, and how it turns public service credentials into private sector leverage. The book shows why former lawmakers, senior staffers, and agency officials can command high fees. They bring relationships, procedural knowledge, and an understanding of how decisions are actually made. This dynamic creates a market for access that can be difficult to regulate because it often operates through informal networks rather than explicit quid pro quo deals. The authors emphasize the incentives on both sides. For officials, the prospect of lucrative post-government work can shape priorities, social circles, and risk tolerance. For clients, hiring the right connected advocate can shorten timelines, open doors, and increase the odds of favorable language in legislation or softer regulatory treatment. The book also highlights how revolving door restrictions and ethics rules can be narrow, time-limited, or easily worked around, leaving ample room for influence to migrate from public institutions to private intermediaries. Thirdly, campaign money as fuel for policy influence. The book treats campaign finance not as a separate problem, but as an integral tool that strengthens lobbying power. Corporate and interest group money can reinforce relationships with lawmakers and parties, creating a feedback loop between fundraising and policy access. Lobbyists can play a central role in this system by steering contributions, organizing fundraisers, and signaling who is a friend or obstacle to a client agenda. Even when contributions do not buy a specific vote, they can buy time, attention, and goodwill in an environment where officials are constantly pressured to raise money. The authors connect this to a broader reality. Many policy decisions are made in crowded agendas, under time pressure, and through technical language. Groups with resources can invest in persistent engagement, while ordinary constituents cannot. In that setting, political money becomes an amplifier of unequal representation. By showing how fundraising, party strategy, and lobbying services can merge into one influence package, the book clarifies why reforms focused on a single lever often fall short. Fourthly, regulatory capture and the quiet shaping of rules. Beyond headline-making legislation, the book emphasizes the importance of federal agencies, where many high-impact decisions happen through rulemaking, guidance, enforcement choices, and procurement. Lobbying power can be especially effective here because agency processes are technical, jargon-heavy, and less visible than floor votes in Congress. Well-funded interests can submit detailed comments, hire former regulators, and maintain continuous contact with decision-makers. The book argues that this can lead to regulatory capture, a condition where agencies tilt toward the perspectives of the industries they oversee. Capture does not require corruption in the cinematic sense. It can arise from information asymmetry, dependence on industry expertise, and a professional culture where regulators and regulated communities overlap. The authors also show how influence efforts may be packaged as public interest arguments, economic warnings, or jobs narratives, making it harder for outsiders to distinguish neutral analysis from advocacy. This focus on the administrative state helps explain how corporate priorities can persist across changing administrations and party control. Lastly, scandals, enforcement gaps, and the limits of reform. The Wolves of K Street also examines the industry through episodes of misconduct and controversy, using them to illustrate structural weaknesses and oversight. Lobbying and related activities are governed by disclosure rules and ethics requirements, but enforcement can be limited, and the boundary between legal influence and unethical behavior can be blurry. The book highlights how the most aggressive actors can exploit gray areas, and how reputational costs are unevenly distributed in a marketplace where clients seek results. At the same time, the author suggests that focusing only on sensational wrongdoing can miss a deeper issue. The system can produce skewed outcomes even when participants comply with formal rules. Reforms may be proposed after public outrage, but they often struggle against entrenched incentives, partisan calculations, and the complexity of modern policymaking. By balancing individual stories with an institutional view, the book encourages readers to see lobbying not merely as a set of bad actors, but as a durable influence architecture that adapts to new regulations and new political eras. In conclusion, this book fits readers who want a grounded, readable explanation of how Washington influence actually works, including citizens concerned about democratic accountability, students of American politics, journalists, lawyers, and policy professionals. Its value is partly intellectual and partly practical. It equips readers to recognize the pathways through which corporate interests can shape outcomes, from campaign fundraising relationships to agency rulemaking and the revolving door. Even if a reader already suspects money matters in politics, the book clarifies the mechanisms and incentives that keep the system running across decades. Compared with many books in the money and politics category, The Wolves of K Street stands out for its narrative reporting approach. Instead of focusing mainly on theory or reform blueprints, it concentrates on the lived reality of the lobbying business and the competitive culture that surrounds it. That makes the subject feel less abstract and helps explain why influence is persistent even when elections change who holds office. Readers looking for a detailed reform agenda may find fewer prescriptions than diagnosis, but the book's strength is its vivid, investigative map of the modern influence economy and the consequences it can have for public trust and policy outcomes. If you would like to support Brody Mullins, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.